that are watching out here right now. Thank you for being here and watching, being with us in this service as we stream live over the internet. This is all new, uncharted territory. We've never been this way before. But there's one we know, regardless of what way we go, we know He's the Lord, and He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the eternal God, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And I want to encourage you now to listen to the few words that I have to say this morning. And I hope that I'll have something to say to bring a little light into this dark hour that we're living in. About 1940s, Hitler was raining W-2 rockets down on London. And these rockets were bombing the city, and they were killing people. People were living in bunkers at night. They never knew the next day how many of their friends they may find dead. And London, England was in a terrible shape. The prime minister was Winston Churchill. He was a wartime prime minister. Winston Churchill gave a speech, and I want to quote the last few verses of what he said. These are the last two sentences of what Winston Churchill said. He said, "Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour." Churchill said that. Now, of course, we know we're quoting a secular authority, but what he says has power and weight, because the church right now may be going through its finest hour in this country and around the world. The church is going into a darkness along with the rest of the people out there. There are millions of people in this world that do not have an idea what's going to be happening in a few days. Neither do we. I would like to give you hope this morning, and I can in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's hope in a person. But as far as an answer to this coronavirus and the people that are going to be dying, I don't have a vision into that. I don't have a special voice from God. This past week, I read a lot of things that a lot of the preachers out here and prophets and prognosticators said that God told them about this virus. But the truth of the matter is, it's useless and a waste of time to even bother with what they said. The truth is, we're going into a dark place, and it's going to check us, it's going to test us, it's going to make us see what we're really made out of. And that can be a very good thing, because there's an awful lot of people in the church house today who have an intellectual faith in Christ, but it's not in their heart. And you can be sure of this, if it gets hard enough in this world, that intellectual faith in Christ will fail you, and you'll know it. It will not bear you up. Romans chapter 8, verse 36 says this, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My brothers and my sisters have suffered at the hands of Nero. They've suffered at the hands of secular rulers, despots, terror, all of that for 2,000 years. Many of them have died the death of martyrs and are still dying the death of martyrs. They're sealing their testimony with their own blood. And that in that I have great encouragement. And that is the kind of thing that builds my faith, is because I know their faith is very real. America has enjoyed great prosperity now for decades. It's a very rich country. It's a kind of country where the church, I think, has fallen asleep. I believe the church in America has become very soft, and its faith is very weak, very shallow. But this is a time when that faith is going to be tried. And the truth of the matter is that faith is going to be purified. What do I mean by that? I mean that God may very well separate the true believer from the unbeliever, and the apostate churches may very well join themselves to the Antichrist, who will rise in the near future. So it's a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of separation, and also a time of joining together. For those who genuinely have been seeking a revival, you should rejoice, because you may very well see the greatest revival that this country has ever had. I'm talking about a real revival. I'm not talking about some shallow emotional experience. I'm talking about a revival that changes your life. And notice how that this revival, when it comes, won't be associated with any man's name. For those who want a closer walk with God, I believe He stands at the door right now. All you have to do is open your heart. For those of you straddling the fence, it's a time to open your eyes. I want you to observe what happens now, for you're going to see things happen in the church of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." What I just read to you comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it's about Old Testament saints, the Old Testament believers who are part of the family of God. And the scripture says that they had not obtained the promise. They were looking forward to the coming of the promise. Well, we have obtained Him, because He came 2,000 years ago. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 21, verse 26, that men's hearts will be failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I believe the Bible. And because I believe the Bible, I believe that we are on the cusp of a time that we have never known before. I don't want to scare you to death this morning, but I want you to be concerned. I want you to take seriously what we're facing. This is no joke, and this is not something that all of a sudden is just going to end and be gone and life goes back as usual. Your life will never be the same again. I do not believe the United States of America will ever be the same again. And I do not believe the church will ever be the same again. You're going to learn things that you never knew existed about yourself, about your government, about the people in this nation and the world. This is the time that purifies and reveals. The Lord said, Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." This is what's important about what I just read. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrow is a direct reference to the birth pangs when a woman is carried through the third trimester and is ready to deliver a child on this earth. The birth pangs. We're in there. We're coming to that point now where we're beginning to feel what that tribulation period may be like. And believe me, dear friend, it can be scary. There are those out there that have been preaching to people that were in the tribulation. Wake up. When the tribulation hits the world, it'll be 1,000 times worse than what you're looking at right now. Men will seek death, and death will flee from them. But God is a merciful God. A woman is pregnant for 9 long months before she brings her child into the world. God gave Noah 120 years to prepare his generation for the coming of the Lord. The Lord is giving us a preparation. He's giving us a warning. He's sending a message down to us that we should pay heed to it. The scripture says that the church is going to be purified. He's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Prosperity gospel preachers, one of them in particular, who even says that he's a billionaire. He has screamed at his followers that are unemployed due to coronavirus cutbacks. And he says to them, don't you dare stop tithing. Folks, you're maybe watching me right now and you've lost your job. You've been laid off. You have no idea when you're going to get a job again. Your income has stopped. And now here, imagine a man looking at you and screaming into your face that he wants your money. Fear of this coronavirus, he says, is faith in its ability to hurt you or kill you. The fear of, what are we going to do? I'm getting laid off at work. Hey, your job's not your source. If it is, you're in trouble. Jesus is your source. Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing. Don't you stop sowing offerings. Well, they won't let us go to church. Well, email it then. Text together something, but you get your tithe into that church. If you have to go take it down there and drop it off, stick it under the door or something. You get that tithe in that church. You get that offering in that church. And then you go home and do what you're supposed to do. This is the gasp of the prosperity gospel that people have been living by now for decades. It's all about money. Money, money. Can you imagine someone tuning into this service this morning and they're hurting? They're sick. They can't pay their bills and they're afraid. And then all they hear out of me is about money. And I study the New Testament. I've studied the Old Testament, read it many times. You'd be surprised at how little is said in the New Testament about money. The New Testament takes it for granted that if you're walking with God, God's going to take care of you and the money will take care of itself. Hebrews 11 verse 4 says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Notice that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. My sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's why I got up this morning. He's why I'm standing in this pulpit right now. He's the one that changed my life many, many years ago. And he is the joy and hope of my soul, that he may appear at any moment. This is what separated Abel from Cain. The Bible says by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. There is a promise in the Bible, for those of you who may not know much about the Bible, and you're tuning in now because you're worried, but there's a promise in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to catch his church up to meet him in the clouds. He's going to catch us up, his bride, to meet him in the clouds. And he's going to come and take us off of the face of this earth to be with him forever. And that's called the rapture of the church. And we're looking for that. And that's what Enoch looked for. And God caught him up. The Bible said by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say now. This is very important. We're looking at a time when men and women must come together. The country must come together. We have a common enemy. We have an enemy that is unseen. We have an enemy that is invisible. Yet it's a powerful enemy. And it's killing people. And it's killing people right and left. It's killing people all over the world. Poor Italy. Italy has suffered greatly. A country of 60 million people. And they have caravans of trucks carrying the bodies out to be cremated. That could happen in America. I hope it doesn't. But it could happen in America. The world will gather around somebody. They'll need somebody. They'll need somebody that'll offer them some hope. They'll need somebody that'll lead them in the way they need to go. And it's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. We need somebody to encourage us today. We need somebody to give us hope today. We need a strong leader at a time like this. Not somebody that's wishy-washy, flim-flam, back and forth. We need a strong leader. But there's also a warning in this, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate leader, and Him and Him alone. He is the only one that we can ultimately turn to deliver us from the power of this enemy. This may be a deception that's coming. And all I can say to you is, if you have any spiritual discernment this morning, and you're listening to this preacher, you'll know what I'm talking about. This may very well be used by Satan as a deception. So keep that in mind. And then finally, Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. I'm glad that Rahab is put in that hall of faith. Why? She was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. That's why she's in here, because God wants you to know that even a prostitute can be saved. And God saved her. And we thank the good Lord that God's grace goes out to all men. He would have all to be saved. Listen carefully to me now this morning. You may be seeking something. You may not even know. You might not have had any idea that when this happened, you might have been a good church-going person. You may be christened in your church. You might have been baptized. You might have been confirmed. You may even be a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or something. But in your heart, there's no peace. In your heart, you don't have any steadfastness. You're afraid. If you get sick, you're liable to die. Well, folks, I might get sick, and I may die, but God will give you a peace. He'll give you a peace to face that. I don't want to. I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here. I'm just as natural as you are. I have a desire to live, but I've also got peace. I've got peace that if my time comes, that I'll be ready to go, and I'll be ready to meet Him. Listen to what it says in Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who we're looking for. Paul said in Romans chapter number 10, listen carefully, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by those things. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring him up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Listen carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you've never done that, why don't you do that right now? Acts 16 says this, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Put faith in the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Now here's the gospel, dear friend. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with your minister. It has nothing to do with sacraments. It has nothing to do with anything man-made. It has nothing to do with human ability. Here's the gospel. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He did not die a martyr's death. He died the death of the Lamb of God. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you believe that he rose from the scriptures, then the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. And after that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and all that was seen of me also, as of one born out of time, out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He was a murderer, yet God gave him grace. If God can save Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle of the New Testament, Paul, he can save you, regardless of what you've done. Salvation is offered freely for all men. Would you pray with me? Father, I brought your word, what you laid on my heart. I have no way of knowing who's out there and who heard this. I have no way of knowing. It's not necessary. Why should I? I'm just the messenger. But I pray for those who did hear it. Maybe right now they're praying. Maybe they're calling on your name. Maybe right now they're searching their heart. Maybe right now they need help. Maybe right now they're looking beyond themselves into the heavens, one higher than them. And this world's closing in on them, their bills, problems, even sicknesses. Maybe some of them have this coronavirus. You're the only one that knows. But regardless, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, anoint your word. May they receive it. May they believe it. And then may they be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.